I recently read an article written by an employee of the Mayo Clinic. It began with the question, have you ever wondered why some people are so robust and energetic in their 70s, their 80s, and beyond, while others appear to be losing their vitality while still in their 50s and 60s? We may consider the advancement of years to be a process of aging, assigning certain traits and characteristics to each decade of time, forming assumptions and conclusions. However, we have also noticed that not everyone fits the mold of our assumptions and our conclusions. Not everyone fulfills the expectations, which are associated with the number of years determined by the calendar of longevity. And we wonder what makes the difference. Why does one individual continue to prosper, while another, perhaps a great deal younger, appears to fade away? The author of the article uses the terms robust, energetic, and vitality to define a desirable quality of life. Furthermore, he suggests that this should be our experience throughout our entire time on this earth plane. After all, if some individuals are able to reach a senior age, vibrant, energetic, and dynamic, then why not all of us? What is the deciding factor, and what is the role of the individual? We ask the question, is it a matter of heredity, of genes, and DNA? Now, if this is the answer, it is reasonable to assume that all the members of a biological family would share a similar lifespan, minus accident and disease. The experience should be the same. And yet, there is diversity within the family. Even when the genes and DNA agree, not everyone ages in the same way. Some time ago, a local community group pondered the same questions regarding the difference in the aging process. As part of their study, they visited the local retirement communities, seeking answers and clarification. They conducted a survey, asking residents ages 85 and older to share what they have done to arrive at such a ripe old age. To what do they attribute their longevity? They were also asked to rate their level of satisfaction and contentment. Did an advanced age bring happiness and fulfillment? Now, it is true that some individuals credit their lifespan to their family heritage, stating that many relatives lived into their 80s and beyond. Others considered their lifestyle to be the determining factor. One individual said that he did not smoke or drink, considering this the reason for his long lifespan. Another man was certain that his daily habit of a cigar and a glass of bourbon in the evening were the reasons that he was still on this earth plane. The survey taker concluded that perhaps it was not so much what the senior citizen did, but rather the attitude in which they did it. Those who rated themselves as somewhat happy and content had found a way to enjoy life. Some even said they considered life to be an adventure. From the earliest times, the world, with its variety of form and expression, has been a bit of a mystery, with man the greatest mystery of all. Now, exactly how does one approach a mystery? Well, first of all, I think that we must have a deep desire to want to know more. If we are not curious about life, we tend to be content to stay where we are, assuring ourselves that this is as good as it gets. Too many of us are willing to coast, to simply allow life to happen, bringing whatever the world has to offer at the moment, considering it to be our lot in life. When it comes to our interest and curiosity, we must be involved, using the terms of the Mayo Clinic, to be robust and energetic in our approach to life. We must be alive to life itself, willing to allow it to move us to greater depth of understanding. When we pull back from life, we diminish, losing our vitality, our strength, our hopes, our dreams, and desires. But the choice is ours. As individuals, we must consider our view of life and our attitude of acceptance. Now, this is not new. Since the beginning of time, every man and every woman has considered the work a personal choice and decision. In determining a method or approach to life, we study the progress of the individual. From time to time, an individual here, an individual there, has tried to penetrate the mystery, seeking reason and clarity, observing their environment, asking, where did this come from and why did it happen? There was that lone individual acting on his or her desire to know more. Over time, a few more people may have wondered about themselves, asking, where did they come from? Questioning their purpose and reason for being. However, for a very long time, for the most part, man just settled in, going about his or her business, doing what was necessary in a human way, some with honesty and integrity, and others to a lesser degree, some with great ability, others with limited capacity. Regardless of their approach, they all had one thing in common. All that existed for these individuals was what they could see, hear, taste, touch, or smell, what they could personally reason and think about. That individual in the retirement community said that he considered life to be an adventure. The dictionary defines the word adventure in this way: a remarkable and exciting experience. Now, I dare say that in this man's lifetime, there must have been many times when he looked around and what he saw as experience, he would not describe as either remarkable or exciting. In fact, there must have been times when what he saw was depressing and miserable, encouraging feelings of sadness and despair. Yet, he was able to maintain the view that regardless of what happened, life was indeed an adventure. It is obvious that his measure of life went beyond that of ordinary man, beyond the faculties reserved for human awareness. The witness of the five senses is limited, reserved for the capacity of the human faculty to comprehend. They are not merely wide enough or deep enough to reveal anything lasting or durable. This method of living is neither remarkable nor exciting. The one committed to this way of life is living on the surface, void of depth and importance. For instance, they may look about them. However, exactly what do they see? They might have looked up at the sky, occasionally a passing glance or a transient thought, but it had no meaning for them other than the sun was there in the daytime and the moon and the stars occupied that space at night. They did not question the origin of what they saw, nor were they curious about what put it in place or what kept it from falling to the earth below. Oh, yes, they may have appreciated the warmth of the sun and considered the moon and the stars to be quite lovely. However, there was no real significance. They were just something they saw, things they were aware of, but of which they had no knowledge other than that they were there. And at that moment, they had no interest in learning more. To the unillumined observer of life, the only world that exists for them is the one viewed with the limited perception of the human eye, giving authority to what is visible and material. This approach to life is what I mean when I say living on the surface, considering this to be the reality. This method of acceptance forms patterns of behavior that keep us earthbound, focused on the temporary and the fleeting. We may attribute these attitudes of acceptance to the primitive man, to that individual of times past. We like to think that we have advanced significantly with the advent of higher education, which advocates the art of critical thinking. However, what part does education play when it comes to our view of life? We may reason that learning should be a way of expanding our awareness and understanding, offering a broader approach for our consideration and our contemplation. In this day and time, when we look around us, we notice a world filled with people. Some are educated, others are not, but they are all depending and relying on those five senses, not curious beyond what they can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. In some ways, it appears that, although educated, in some ways we have not advanced too far from that one that we call primitive man. Oh, yes, our toys and our pleasures, they may be more sophisticated, technology refining and clarifying in new and different ways. However, informing patterns of method and approach to life, many times we revert to what is comfortable and familiar. We tend to rely on established views and attitudes for help, guidance, and direction. We sustain ourselves on the crumbs of personal thought and emotion. Our curiosity of life does not extend beyond what we already know, and we certainly would not consider this life much of an adventure. To develop an appreciation of life, we must expand our interpretation beyond the limitations of human affairs. The thing is this. If we continue to measure life according to human affairs, we will not go beyond what is contained in human affairs. The one who is robust and energetic in his approach to life will not settle for the lesser conditions. When he looks up at the sky, he sees the sun, and while he enjoys its warmth, He wants to know more about the sun itself, where it came from, who or what put it in place, and what keeps it from falling from the sky. In addition, what is the purpose of the moon and the stars? Next, he looks at nature. Considering the life of the bird and the fish. Questioning the internal clock that allows that bird to fly north or south, and the fish to swim in the appropriate direction. He looks at the flowers in the garden, asking who or what gave them their beauty, their fragrance, their color, and shape. The one who is involved in life seeks answers beyond and behind the appearance, questioning the activity that allows for manifestation. To this individual, life is an adventure, truly a remarkable and exciting experience. He is no longer earthbound. He gives his focus and attention to the universe, acknowledging the oneness of all life. Now, when we go behind or beyond appearance, we discover the origin of all life, one life with various forms of expression, each unique according to species and type. Now, the sincere individual directs his questions concerning depth, significance, and importance in an inward way. And this is because all of life proceeds from the inner to the outer. The realm of inner being is spiritual. It is of God. It is that place out of which all things spring forth into manifestation. This is the spiritual life adventure, the discovery of the true self. When we awaken to our true self, when we remember from whence we came, we are living the spiritual adventure. And I repeat, truly a remarkable and exciting experience. When the curious man is able to rise above his surroundings, he also rises in consciousness, beginning to question the wonders of his universe and everything in it. Life is no longer a mystery. He is one with all life, no boundaries, no restrictions or limitations. Now, when he looks around him, he perceives with the eye divine, and he sees marvelous things. To him, whether on land or sea, comes the inevitable question, what lies behind the visible world? The answer is given, I am, and beside me there is none else. In the state of lifted consciousness, the individual is consciously one with this presence, and therefore one with all life. He is involved and alive, one with the activity of all life. The birds, they sing their songs in his heart. The stars, they invite him to turn his gaze to the sky and behold their glory. The waves, they wash around him, displaying their ability to ebb and to flow, according to the pattern of God's direction. Lifted consciousness is the beholder, observing God's perfect plan in action. Lifted consciousness is the reward to the one who seeks to penetrate the mystery of life, slipping the bonds of human affairs that keep him earthbound, confined to the familiar ruts of experience. The spiritual life adventure reveals the mystery of man himself. Man is not meant to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God did not send man into this world to fend for himself. God gave dominion to the spiritual man, to Christ. To accept Christ as our identity, we envision the possibility of being the master and not the victim. The unillumined can become illumined. That man living in darkness can become the light of the world. Lifted consciousness validates the inner conviction that there is more to life than what appears to be. Something better and beyond the process of being born, acquiring a family, making a living, and eventually dying to this experience. The purpose of the spiritual journey is illumination and enlightenment. The ancient mystics called this attaining the mind that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what difference does it make how it is expressed? We need not hear an audible voice. We may, but it's not necessary. We need not see visions. We may, but it is not important. What is important is that we enter the sanctuary, the temple of God that we are, and in which the presence of God dwells. When we recognize this and go within, we then begin to commune with the presence. In our own soul's awareness, we know that we know, and that is our sufficiency. This is the only life worth living. It is a spiritual adventure, truly a remarkable and exciting experience. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and commune with our Father, which art in heaven. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. The promise is, turn to me, you will find me. In the stillness, we rest in the sanctuary of our soul's awareness, safe and secure, free of outer appearance and condition. Time stands still. There is no memory of yesterday, no promise of tomorrow. The nowness of this moment is our reality. The lifted eye beholds the spiritual kingdom, and the invitation is given. It is my good pleasure to prepare this place for you. Claim it. It's your true home. We carry this holy place with us in the center of our being, our state of high consciousness. At any time, we may enter God's house and partake of his blessings, his comfort, and his love. The choice is ours. We determine the direction of our turning, within or without. Let us choose this day to follow the voice of the high calling. This is the abundant life, and it is ours. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in all beings. Praise him for word and for by his. Praise him.
in peace and have a blessed week.